Hello and welcome to Instant Transmission, a podcast where we discuss everything Dragon Ball and why time travel isn't actually controversial at all, and you're all wrong. After many episodes of build-up, Goku straps on his boots and prepares to enter the ring to do battle against the cruel Cell in the Cell Games over the fate of the Earth. Channel your ki and take your battle stance because we're diving straight into the mountain of content in tonight's episode. I'm your host, Dayton, and once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Todd.
Hi.
And tonight we'll be covering Kai's episodes 89 through 98 as we continue our coverage with part three of the Cell Saga. The fate of the Earth comes down to a martial arts tournament hosted by the now perfect form Cell himself. After giving our heroes 10 days to prepare, most of our heroes have taken that time to train, utilizing the hyperbolic time chamber to great effect as they manage to get in an entire year of training in one of those days. The Z Fighters all arrive at the battle site, and in very non-typical Dragon Ball fashion, Goku has opted to be the first to step into the ring. And with all of that covered, was there anything you wanted to add before we got things started, Todd?
Nope, let's get into it, because these are some content-rich episodes.
Yes, they are. And the first episode we're covering is episode 89, A Battle of the Highest Level. Defeat Cell, Son Goku. And, I mean, I want to just pause for a moment to appreciate how crazy it is that Goku's going to be the first one they send into the ring, like before we even really start with the episode, because when I saw this the first time as a kid, this was mind blowing to me. I kept waiting for them to do like the bait and switch sort of thing, but it doesn't happen here.
I mean, he's not technically first. We did get to see Mr. Satan try his hand against Mr. Perfect Cell.
Okay, so Goku's second. All right, so yeah, Cell's been worn down a little bit, so
that's
now
right.
They're going to send in Goku.
But yeah,
how this episode actually begins, though, and I actually appreciate the way they work this in. It begins with a brief scene of Mr. Popo actually coaching Dende, kind of on the technique of global observation, and they do a good job of kind of working in that little plot point into getting into the Cell Games. So I kind of like that we take that brief moment to show Dende kind of being molded to his role.
It's a cool transition, especially because as we jump over to the Cell Games arena, our other Z Fighters are struggling to follow the pace at which Goku and Cell are fighting. It looks like maybe Gohan might be the only one who's really following everything. Even Vegeta, Trunks, and Piccolo are struggling here.
And the way they show the speed that they're moving at, I really like the way they do it, where it's kind of this panning shot, or one of them is a panning shot across the ring where you show, you know, all the tiles of the ring moving by, and we see Goku and Cell kind of appearing for a moment and either exchanging a blow or dodging an attack and then leaping back off and disappearing again. So you get these little brief exchanges that disappear. It's really dynamic and well done.
I mean, you're touching on it, but both the fight choreography and the animation in this episode for the fight against Goku and Cell is top notch. It is. I mean, I kind of blue balled Dayton last time where we cut our episode in like the middle of the Goku and Cell fight here. But the previous episodes that we had of this fight between Goku and Cell, they're fine. The animation suffers a little bit and is lacking in a few points. And the fight choreography is not bad. We get to see a few interesting techniques from Cell and the multi-form and everything. But this episode, man, it is so good. Like you said, Dayton, the leaping between scenes and seeing the speed lines of them dashing, none of it ever feels poorly animated or like overdone or repeated. And every hit feels really, really calculated and heavy.
Yeah, it feels very complete, right? Like, it feels like we're getting a full battle here, and no animation is wasted. Every little exchange feels like it's trying to convey something to us as the audience. And I, like you pointed out, I like that the Z Fighters are struggling to kind of keep up with it, except, like you said, for Gohan, who almost looks nervous as he's watching, where he's following it, but he looks very unsure and concerned. And so he's got a very different emotion than the rest of the fighters as they're all watching the battle.
Yeah. And that's a great point. It's it's going to be important moving forward. I think we even have at least one or two moments of just tiny little inner dialogue or from Gohan where he's saying something like, come on, Dad, you can do it. And it's like, but like you said, he looks nervous, like uncertain. So you kind of get the impression that Gohan probably has a read on the power levels and the fight that's going on here.
Yeah. And I mean, just to touch on the fight a little bit more, we actually get a great exchange where we see Goku bring up both of his arms to block an attack by Cell. And we see Cell, he swings his left arm around, kind of bypassing Goku's guard, knocking him back on his feet. And we see Cell pushing forward into Goku's exposed face, just driving a flurry of right-handed jabs into Goku until he's able to finally dodge backwards onto his hands and then spring forward with his legs, knocking Cell high into the air. I mean, the animation is just superb. And the music, was the music the original score here? Because it sounded great.
It's not the original score, but it's, the music here is solid. I didn't have any problem with the music for this fight. It's pretty fitting for it, I think.
I mean, it's upbeat, it's fast, like, and I mean, it fits here. It had me fooled as if it was the original score, so I'm pretty happy with it. When Kai does a good job, even if it's not great, if it does a good job, I like to point it out, because that's one thing I think we've been pretty harsh on with Kai.
It's good that you're pointing out when Kai does a good job with the music, because I'm usually ripping on the music for Kai.
Yeah, especially when there's original content that just had a better score that they could have just used, right? If you're going to replace something, you better replace it with something better.
Yeah, 100%. But this fight, I mean, the whole thing is spectacular. What we kind of transition into after we get to see a good bit of just exchanges of heavy knees, punches, kicks, is that this fight is going to, Cell's not happy with where this fight is going. Mostly in the fact that he is confined to such a small space in this ring. And so high up in the air, Cell, looking down at the ring, says that he's going to change the scenery a little bit, which turns into him destroying the arena.
Yeah, and it's kind of a moment where we see Goku kind of panic and turn his head to warn his friends before the attack is launched. But Cell isn't content letting the battle end with a ring out, right? He wants this to be something glorious, something more epic than just you touched the wrong place. So the spirit of the tournament is gone. Cell wants his battle to the end. He wants his moment.
I mean, it's, these two are powerful enough to destroy the whole planet. Like, confining them to a ring when they are, you know, knocking each other across the entire, like, rocky plains, like, it makes sense that he wants to get rid of it, but he doesn't care if anybody gets hurt when he does so.
Yeah, and I mean, after the ring is destroyed, the battle picks back up in an explosive manner. We see ki blasts being launched. We see them grabbing each other in the classic palm lock screamathon. I don't know what it is, where they grab each other by the palms and just scream at each other. I mean, it's all the DBZ tropes kind of in one battle. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, even that thing that you're describing, it's ridiculous. It makes almost no sense in a fight whatsoever, but I fucking love it.
I mean, it's so good. I mean, they're just, to borrow a quote from a bridge, they're decking each other in the schnoz back and forth. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the entire ground begins to shake as they're, like, grasping onto one another. You see the kind of golden aura of Super Saiyan, as well as Cell's golden aura, as they are just powering up to the, presumably to the max here, and continue, like you said, Dayton, to deck each other in the schnoz. Which turns into, though, Goku leaping up into the air, and this time it's Goku's turn to begin charging a ki blast.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and lay things out, because we've got some discussion to have with what's about to happen here.
Oh, yeah.
So Goku flies up into the air, and you see him put his arms back in that signature Kamehameha move as he begins charging the attack. And everyone's watching on, thinking at first, all right, yeah, he's just bluffing, he's not actually going to do it. And quickly, that disbelief turns into horror as the as a blast of that magnitude would likely wipe out the whole planet, killing everybody. And just before the attack is launched, we see Goku bleep out of existence and bleep back in just in front of Cell, safely firing his massive Kamehameha wave upwards into Cell's torso and away from the planet, importantly, arguably killing Cell. We'll find out in a second, but I want to pause in this moment right here because when I watched this in Kai, my first thought was, I feel like we really rushed into this moment. It felt like the first time I saw it, there was a little bit more kind of build up and a little bit more weight put on this move. And I'm glad you sent it over to me, the original. And there is a little bit more dialogue from the other Z fighters, and there is a little bit more build up to the moment. And I think cutting that out was actually a detriment to kind of how cool this move actually was.
I 100% agree. And yeah, I sent Dayton a YouTube clip of the original Funimation dub and cut of Dragon Ball Z. And the biggest difference is the pacing here. It's mostly the dialogue, like you said, Dayton, the dialogue from our sidelined Z fighters. But it's kind of this journey that the audience gets to take with our Z fighters who are describing what's going on. Like, hey, Goku's in the air. Hey, he's charging this blast. Oh man, that's way too much energy to be shooting down at the planet. That's going to destroy the planet. And it's like this escalation that really makes the tension rise and makes us appreciate, like, what is Goku doing? Is he losing his mind? Like, why would he be so desperate to attack Cell such that he's going to blow up the planet? And then we finally get the instant transmission and we're like, that is fucking brilliant. But it's too fast. We don't have that buildup in Kai, unfortunately.
Yeah. And when you slow things down, you take a moment to actually really appreciate how brilliant that move is, right? When you move at a high pace, it looks like it's just another part of the sequence. It's just another attack and a plethora of attacks. I think, honestly, breaking that pace and really putting a good stopgap between all the other things that happened so that way you can separate out this moment even more, I think that's a better way of showing how cool this moment is. And I wish I would have done that just a little bit more. Just add a little bit more gap into there, and I'm happy. It wouldn't have taken much.
I 100% agree. We'll have to talk about, too, because this episode kind of ends in an awkward spot, in my opinion. And so, like, they could have just shifted it back a little bit more.
That's true. Well, I mean, and I will say it's still a cool move after not seeing it for a bunch of years. So, I love that Goku did that. I love that it was kind of taking multiples of his previous techniques and combining them together and using it together. I still like that little bit of story writing, even though instant transmission is honestly kind of bullshit. That was still really cool.
Yeah, I agree. However, this is probably the coolest implementation of instant transmission.
Absolutely.
It is so fun. As we kind of push forward, even at the tail end of the Kamehameha here, as the blast goes off, we, the audience, actually get to see the destruction against Cell's body. And it's clear as day. We get to see the entire upper half of his torso get blown into pieces. Like, basically from his stomach downward is still intact. Everything above that, arms, head, gone, wiped out. So there's another detail about this, Dayton, that I wanted to ask you about, because as we're going to see, this entire arc is based around Goku's plan with Gohan. So what do you think here? What do you think was going through Goku's head here when he unleashed this instant transmission Kamehameha? Do you think that he thought this was going to kill Cell?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, Goku really hasn't seen much of Cell up to this point. He's really only heard about Cell kind of word of mouth, right? He hasn't really seen the monster that he is. I mean, I think Goku's plan, to some degree, was to was to fight All Out, I do think that him stepping into the ring first was definitely not an accident. I do think that not only did he want to, I guess, give Gohan an idea of what he was fighting, he also wanted to make sure that Gohan saw what his dad was capable of doing. So I do think that this is more of a display of Goku and where he was at. So that way Gohan could really appreciate his own measuring stick.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Spoilers, everybody. Gohan's going to fight Cell. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, as far as whether this attack would actually defeat Cell or not, man, it's hard to say. If Goku doesn't make one other decision in a little bit, it would be a lot easier for me to say that he was just trying to soften Cell up a little bit so his kid could get a win. But no, that goes out the window pretty quick. So I don't know. Like, honestly, that's my answer. I don't know.
As I saw this second time around, I was just thinking, I was like, even when, so moving forward just a little bit so I can talk about this more, Cell regenerates. Cell is not dead. He's not down for the count. He basically, using Piccolo's cells and genes and technique, he regenerates his entire upper body, which is crazy. But Goku, even in this, Goku seems surprised by that. Goku basically says, like, I can still feel his energy. Like, he's not dead. What's going on here?
I do think correct me if I'm wrong, I think the most we've seen Cell regenerate this far has been, like, his left half of his torso, right? Against Vegeta. So, I mean, there is an argument that, like, you know, I think Abridge brought it up. Piccolo's Cell should probably not allow him to regenerate this much.
It's definitely debatable, right? Like, there are other moments where Piccolo regenerates. Piccolo has regenerated his arm a bajillion times. I think that there's moments where Piccolo has regenerated, like, his stomach as well.
The head's the big thing, though. The head is a big, like, if you don't have a brain, do you know to regenerate?
I know. We could debate, you know, Cell's nucleus might have been intact, which is going to come into play later. So, like,
well, where's he keep that at?
In his butthole. I don't know.
It moves around. I don't know. And I mean, maybe Cell has regenerated more previous, and I just am not thinking of it. But who knows? I don't know. Regeneration's a wonky thing, especially when it comes to you can basically come back to life.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit BS, and I'm even trying to justify it and stretching logic to do so.
I'm gonna go ahead and maybe see that maybe Goku was a little gassed before he launched that attack, so maybe he just wasn't able to put as much of his back into it as he normally would have.
Maybe. I mean, the angle's funny too, right? Because he's trying to avoid hitting the Earth, so there's a good chance that his Kamehameha is only hitting Cell's upper half. And as we see later, Cell doesn't need much to regenerate.
Well, so Cell regenerates, surprise. And this is where we see my favorite move in all of Dragon Ball. Goku performs the panic ki attack move where he begins launching just ki blast after ki blast after ki blast. And that's where this episode ends. Which brings us into episode 90, a conclusion to the death match. Goku, time to make a decision. So the ki blast panic attack doesn't work.
Shocker.
Cell actually does kind of a neat thing where he projects like this massive kind of dark purple ki bubble that nullifies the attack. That's kind of cool. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool defensive measure against the ki barrage. I don't really like how they were kind of like, even the Z fighters on the sidelines were like, yeah, Goku's got it, and he's just like hammering these little ki blasts.
They're telling him to do it more, like, oh yeah. It's definitely gonna work this time, just do it hard enough,
it's working, keep going.
It's pretty funny. But so the attack's nullified, and we kind of get this brief pause in the fight where you see both fighters are kind of gassed right now. Both fighters are they're beaten, they're bruised, and they're taking a moment to catch their breath, but it does kind of seem like Goku's a little bit more gassed than Cell at this point.
Yeah, even Cell is kind of taunting Goku. And on the sidelines, they're saying, like, hey, Goku's looking tired. He's worn out. We need to give him a sensu bean. And Trunks in particular is the one, like, pushing for this. And everybody else is just kind of keeping quiet until Vegeta is like, don't you understand what's going on here? This is a one-on-one fight.
I, you know, damn you, Abridge, because I always think of your guys's like summary of what's happening, where it's just like, I'm ashamed to even call you my son. How do you not even understand? It's like, because he's trying to save the world, as the rest of you should be doing. The guy's actually speaking common sense over here.
And it, I mean, both renditions of Vegeta's dialogue are spot on. Team Four Stars version taking it up to 11 with Vegeta just berating.
You're only moving
Trunks
up from 10. It's not that much more cranked up. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Vegeta's bravado it's pretty close to parody just on a regular day.
100%. But him just berating Trunks, like, Goku's here to test himself. He's not going to accept this sensu bean and ruin this, you know, his pride as a Saiyan warrior.
Just the awkward silence after Trunks suggests it just makes me laugh every time. Ruin's just like, we kind of let the death match play out and just, you know, the chips fall where they may. Like, that's just kind of how we do things around here.
I love it so much because Trunks, being from a different timeline, is the only one who's like, this is stupid. Why are we doing it this way? This is dumb.
Oh, man. Yeah, they have not experienced the horrors that future Trunks had to experience. They have no idea. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get back to the action, and Cell kind of, he actually patronizes Goku over the idea of taking a sensu bean. He's like, yeah, why don't you go ahead and take that sensu bean? And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of mind-blowing that making fun of somebody for making a tactically sound decision works. Like, it's like, no, my pride is more important.
I love it so much. It's so, it's funny, and it's so in character for everybody involved. And this results in Goku powering down. His aura kind of fades around him, and everybody's like, what's he doing? And Goku stands his ground with a smile on his face and says, you win, Cell. I give up.
Yeah, and everybody's shocked. Everybody is not sure what to do with this information. And even Cell's like, I guess I'll just blow up the planet then. But Goku says that there's still actually one fighter left who can not only beat Cell and save the Earth, but is actually stronger than Goku himself. And after some guessing, Goku reveals that this fighter is Gohan.
Yeah. So out of all of the trained martial artists, aliens, and Saiyans here, Gohan, the 11-year-old child, is going to enter the ring to fight this alien cyborg robot monster.
Yeah, and like, Gohan's, he hesitates, and he's even unsure. All the Z fighters are also unsure. And Piccolo is pissed. He points out the folly of sending Gohan into the fight. Like, what are you doing? You're sending your own flesh and blood off to die.
I love Piccolo's response to this. It shows how much Piccolo has grown as a character. It shows how much Piccolo cares about Gohan. And it's such a, like, I mean, you get the joke about, you know, Piccolo being Gohan's real dad, but this just shows the contrast between the way that Goku tries to raise Gohan and sees Gohan versus the way that Piccolo has tried to raise Gohan and sees Gohan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they take a moment to really show that connection. And I mean, now we're getting a little bit of friction between Goku and Piccolo over this decision, right? But Piccolo, Goku just kind of blows it off, and he reassures his son. He points out to Gohan actually that he probably felt that Goku was holding back this whole time because he was comparing Goku's power level to his own power level, which is a pretty big reveal. And Gohan's like, yeah, I thought you were holding back because I was comparing you to me. It's kind of incredible.
I love this little detail because we've kind of gotten hints up to this point that Gohan is strong, but to actually have it said outright from both Goku and Gohan, for Goku to say, I was fighting at my full power, and Gohan to say, I thought you were holding back because, you know, everything you did out there, I could do, or I could do possibly even more. He doesn't quite put it into those words, but we get the confirmation from both of them. So we know now that Gohan is the strongest person here, except for maybe Cell in this moment.
Well, I mean, if you want to take any doubt out, we're definitely going to prove that by Goku asking for a Senzu Bean and then throwing it over to Cell, who was probably in a very beatable, weakened form and is now back up to not only full strength, but because of that Saiyan blood he's got, he's probably even stronger than what he was when he fought Goku now. This decision blows my mind. I mean, part of it is just, it's got to be Goku's faith in his son, right? Like, I know what he's capable of. This should be no problem for him. But dear Lord, get your kid a win before you send him into this monster. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think, like, there's so much going on here, right? There's so many layers. And the Dragon Ball fan base, I think much of the fan base hates that Goku does this. I love this. And here's why. So I love that this is Goku's plan for Gohan. Goku is planning for Gohan to basically take over his role as, you know, the strongest, potentially the defender of Earth. And he wants Gohan to be confident. Like, he's seen Gohan fight. He's seen Gohan, you know, fight with the best of them, but he's also seen Gohan be scared, be a child, doubt himself. And so I think what Goku is doing here, he's saying, Gohan, I don't want you to go into this and win this fight against Cell after I weakened him and think, oh, the only reason I won was because my dad softened him up for me. You know, really, my dad was the one who got this win, not me. And that's, in my mind, a lot of the reason why Goku gives Cell the Senzu Bean, because he wants Gohan to get this win for himself and develop that confidence in himself as a fighter.
Well, I do agree with all of that. You're kind of betting the earth on your son getting some confidence. Ooh, buddy, that is quite the gamble.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it's not fucked up, but
okay, all right, if we agree on that, then yes, that is, I think we're in lockstep here. Oh buddy, so yeah, now Gohan has to not only beat Cell, but he also has that idea in the back of his mind where he has to overcome the idea that he's not as strong as his dad. He's got to get out of his father's shadow now. So there's a lot riding on this battle right now. And also, I don't think Gohan was prepared for this moment. I don't think he ever really knew that he was going to be thrown into the ring with Cell and have to prove himself in this manner. When you think of Goku's upbringing, he was always looking for that next fight and always trying to make that next level. Gohan, he's really only trained and powered up and pushed himself to help his friends. And for really no other reason. Gohan hasn't really pushed himself for the sake of getting stronger. He's only pushed himself for the sake of helping people. And so the motivations behind Gohan, what makes him tick, are very different than Goku. So I kind of question, I guess, how effective some of these decisions are going to be.
And that's, you're totally right. That's kind of Goku's blind spot here, right? Is that he doesn't realize that Gohan's motivations are generally different from his own. Gohan wants to protect people. He doesn't like seeing innocents be harmed. He doesn't like seeing the strong take advantage of the weak. Whereas that's not, I mean, it's a secondary concern for Goku. Goku is more concerned about how can I get stronger and who is strong enough to challenge me and give me a fun fight.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I know we took a moment on this, but this is such an important moment in all of Dragon Ball. This is kind of Gohan's step into the spotlight. So I think it's hugely important that we take a moment to cover it. But Gohan enters the ring and we see him begin powering up. And it's kind of a cool scene because we see the wind kind of swirling around him with the dust picking up. And there's kind of energy and you see little arcs of lightning going on in it. So they're kind of alluding to some stuff that happens down the line. It's very cleverly animated. So, and I love the way that the dust kind of disappears and settles and we see it give way to the calm golden flame like ki that we're used to seeing with Super Saiyan.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're touching on the visuals and they're great. It's also fun to see everyone's reactions to Gohan power up. I mean, we presume he's probably at least close to his full power as he powers up here. He's not doing anything crazy, but everybody's responses to him powering up, even Vegeta and Trunks, they're like, holy shit, is that Gohan?
Yeah, so everyone's blown away by just how much power is in this young Saiyan warrior. And the battle actually kicks off, and for a moment, it seems like Gohan's kind of holding his ground, but it doesn't take long before Cell seems to kind of take over the fight. And we see him just start outmatching Gohan completely, landing a flurry of several jabs and then striking him hard into the ground. We see Gohan lift himself back up. His lip is a little bloodied, but he kind of looks at Cell in defiance. It seems like he's holding his ground and he's actually at least trying to do battle at this point.
Yeah, and Gohan, I mean, Gohan manages to dodge or block quite a few of Cell's attacks. Like, we can tell that he's at least keeping pace with Cell, but Gohan's not really going on the offensive. There is one point where Cell basically grabs Gohan and turns him into a punching bag and just beats the snot out of him for a while before knocking him away into the rocks. And I think really as Gohan stands back up, proving that he can take a hit at the very least, that's pretty much where we wrap up this episode.
Yeah, that brings us straight into episode 91, which is Get Angry, Gohan, Unleash Your Hidden Power. And this one starts off with Cell launching blast after blast. Gohan's kind of on the back foot for a lot of this fight. And we see actually some pretty gruesome blows to Gohan as he's blasted back into this hard rocky hill. And we see him just kind of get crushed in all this rubble. And as he's kind of getting the snot beat out of him, we see Piccolo's rage begin to just overflow. And he actually curses Goku for pushing his son to his death.
Yeah. Yeah. Cell releases a pretty devastating ki attack against Gohan and buries him beneath the rubble. And, you know, Piccolo's upset here. Even Cell is kind of gloating, like, Goku, why don't you take a sensu bean and get back out here? Because clearly your son is not going to be good enough. But Goku stays confident, and his confidence in this moment pays off as Gohan blasts his way out of the rubble, powering up once more. I mean, he's got some damage done to him, but he looks largely okay otherwise.
Yeah, it's kind of scuffs and bruises and a little blood on his lip. It all seems like it's more or less superficial damage. He's still functional. And Gohan actually approaches Cell and he questions why they're even fighting. He even gives Cell a chance to end this whole thing without violence, which is just wild in this moment. Like, after somebody just used you as a punching bag and being like, look, we don't have to fight. Like, it's nuts. And he offers Cell a chance to leave here alive. And yeah. Cell, of course, laughs and declines. Like, why would he take that offer? He's beating the snot out of this kid.
Right. Which turns into Gohan explaining he understands why his dad sent him into this fight. Because Gohan has always had kind of a hidden power, almost like a hidden rage inside of him. And we get a little monologue or a little flashback as he gives this dialogue about, you know, when he fought and hurt Raditz, or when he fought and hurt Frieza, how he's always been fighting people who are vastly stronger than him, but he still manages to hurt them. And he says, you know, if I snap here, I'm probably going to kill you.
So after telling Cell all this, this goes exactly how you think it would go. And Cell decides that he wants to see this. So his plan now is to torture Gohan and all of his friends to the point where Gohan finally has to snap. So this whole thing, Gohan thought he might explain this and end the fight. No, he's just bringing out the worst of Cell at this point. So Cell begins torturing Gohan at this point. And I mean, it's pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, he like knocks him to the ground, starts stepping on his head and just digging it into the dirt, and then just begins pummeling Gohan. And this doesn't seem to be doing anything. Like, Gohan eventually retaliates with a kick to Cell, and you know, it's a heavy blow, but this isn't what Cell wants. It's not getting anywhere. So Cell, I mean, continues to try to hurt him, even squeezing him, like squeezing the life out of him practically. And this is when Piccolo loses it.
Yeah, it's hearing Gohan's screams of pain, right, as he's slowly being crushed. Piccolo pushes his protest, pointing out that Gohan isn't a willing party to Goku's plan. And right now, Gohan is a tortured, scared child who feels abandoned by his dad. And this is where Goku finally starts to realize what he's done to his son.
Yeah, I really like this exchange. I will say I felt like the dialogue, at least in the moment of Goku's realization, like the visuals that we get on the screen for Goku and Piccolo felt awkward compared to like the dialogue that they were saying. But I still love this exchange between Piccolo and Goku as Goku realizes that, oh, I've fucked up. Like, I know that Gohan is strong enough and can do this, but I didn't think about the fact that he's still an 11-year-old boy. Like I think you probably said it perfectly, Dayton, in that let the kid get a win first to build some confidence, right? Don't just send him to the wolves and expect him to come out okay.
Yeah, especially since when you think about Gohan's kind of timeline of events, he really hasn't beaten anybody. He's kind of had his crap kicked in over and over again. I would imagine his confidence would be shot, right? Like when it comes to the Saiyans, he felt useless. And in some areas, he let everyone down. Against Frieza, he was almost helpless. I mean, he was running for his life almost the entire time on Namek. And then now, you know, you kind of throw him into a fight over the fate of his own world. And not only that, like you feel alone. You don't have that any level of confidence. You just watched your dad, who you think is like Superman, get defeated. I don't think it's a good look.
100%. And that is a great point too. That detail of you as Gohan have watched your father save the world multiple times against all odds. Like he is your hero, and he lost. He stepped down to let you handle it. Like that has to be a blow to your whole ecosystem as an 11-year-old child. But
not to mention how much trauma he probably has at this point.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like even Gohan's mindset in the hyperbolic time chamber, all he was thinking about was, I need to get stronger so that I can become a good enough training partner for my father so that my father can get strong enough to defeat Cell. There was no time in his entire year in the time chamber where he was like, oh yeah, I need to get stronger so that I can beat the bad guy.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it probably would have worked with Gohan if Goku kind of sat Gohan down and said, hey, like, I'm not going to be around forever, and somebody's got to take the mantle of Earth's defender. I'd like it to be you. He goes, I can show you the ropes and we'll start working on this. And I'm sure Gohan would have pushed back at some point, but it would have been nice to kind of ease him into it versus just throwing him into the fucking deep end and putting everybody's lives on the line over this decision that someone else made for you.
It's yeah, you're right. It's so funny to me. It's wild because Goku, I mean, even in the time chamber, Gohan told Goku, Piccolo says you're too soft with me when it comes to training. And then we almost, so like Piccolo was very hard on Gohan when he was like a 4-year-old boy and training him in the woods. However, in this moment, it's the inverse. It's the flip of that, where Goku is like, yeah, son, go get him. Swim in the deep end. Go fight Cell. And Piccolo's like, Goku, what are you doing? You're going to get your son killed.
Well, it's even worse because when Piccolo was doing the training in the woods, he was actually like watching and making sure that Gohan was okay, right? Like it was one of those.
True.
Gohan thought he was in the deep end, but Piccolo was actually going to bail him out if it really did get dicey. There's no one to bail Gohan out here. Gohan is in the deep end. It is up to him. There's no fallback at this point. He has to win. There's no other option.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's, man, it's so problematic.
The only thing in my head that kind of makes it all make sense is that because Goku's a freaking alien, this makes sense to him. This is how, like, just naturally, biologically speaking, this is how alien dad would take care of alien son. But Gohan's half human. And so that could really affect how, like, I mean, he's much more empathetic than somebody like Goku is, right? Gohan's much more concerned with the health and happiness and well-being of people around him than Goku is.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think even from if we look at this from like a human perspective, just a people perspective, Team Four Star does a great job of kind of breaking this down. But this is a perfect example of just a father not fully understanding his son. Like Goku believes Gohan is like him. Goku wants Gohan to be like him. Gohan's not like Goku.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, that's a great point.
Like it's why I love this exchange so much, because all of this is Goku thinks that he's doing the right thing for Gohan. He's trying to get him to a point where he has confidence as a fighter. He's trying to pass the torch to him as the Earth's defender. But he's never talked to Gohan and said, hey, son, is this something that you would want?
Yeah. And I mean, you have to be kind of disappointed with Goku, because look at how well Master Roshi prepared Goku for his initial trials, right? How much he prepared him for his first tournament, and how much Master Roshi guided Goku through those confidence building steps, right? Goku kind of failed when it comes to that with Gohan. He skipped some steps. He kind of rushed to the end point and didn't take his time. And I don't know. There's a million things I could say about this. There's a million mistakes that Goku has made, but also to some degree, like, I understand why Goku made his decisions, even if they were wrong. So, because they weren't made out of malice, right? It's not like Goku is this mustache twirling villain who's trying to make his son suffer. It's just this, like you said earlier, this is a blind spot for Goku, and Goku's finally realizing it now, but it's kind of in the 11th hour. It's almost like too late now.
100%.
There's just so much content I want to cover here, but we got to keep pushing forward. And Cell is frustrated that this little boy is not letting loose, and he decides that the best way for him to do that is to now take out his frustrations on the other Z fighters. He leaps over, swipes their sensu beans right out from under their noses, and he lets Gohan know that all of his friends are going to die. But before he can enact that, Android 16, who we've all forgotten about, leaps into action and catches Cell off guard in this. Is that a full Nelson? Is that what he grabs him in?
He just has his arms wrapped around him. Like, I don't even know if there's a word
for it.
Is there a term for that?
Whatever. He gives him the good old big old hug from behind.
Yeah.
And he announces that his plan is to sacrifice the like super nuclear bomb inside of him to take out Cell and himself in one just big super explosion.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of the cliffhanger for this episode as we jump in to see the resolution with the android explosion.
Yeah, you're right. It kind of bleeds straight over into episode 92, which is The Tears That Disappeared Into the Sky. Gohan's angry super awakening. And we see Android 16. He's got a hold of Cell. He's telling everyone to get away because he's preparing to blow. And we see him start glowing and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And we get some dialogue from Krillin basically saying, Bulma took the bomb out of you. They thought it was, you know, dangerous. They didn't want you to have to deal with it. So they removed it. And our kind of ace in the hole with our self-destructing android is it's non-functional here, as Cell basically just breaks out of the hold and blasts 16 into smithereens.
It was at this moment he realized he had fucked up. So yeah, you're right. Cell kind of turns around, blasts Android 16 just into pieces, right? Just shatters his whole body, arms, everything. Head, well, removed from his body, but still intact, which is important. But Android 16 is reduced to a pile of scrap plus a head.
Yeah, and this Cell basically dives right back into his plan, which is to basically harm Gohan's friends. And maybe that'll get something out of Gohan here. And so Cell counts up the Z Fighters, counting up to 7. And then we get the most awkward birthing scene of all time.
Yeah, we see his little baby tail thing open up like an umbrella. And we see him birth 7 Cell Juniors, which are kind of pint-sized miniature versions of him, but more of a bluish color. Yeah, they all pop out of him. So I guess Cell's a girl. I don't know what else to say. It's a weird scene. They are given the order to inflict maximum pain on the rest of the Z Fighters. And with maniacal laughter, they all fly forth and gleefully begin performing their mission.
Yeah, this is... I mean, at this point... It's wild to me that Goku never took a Senzu Bean, but I guess he was so focused on his plan that
he was about to take a Senzu Bean before Cell took them. He was like, all right, guys, all right, I'll take a Senzu Bean now. And then they take the Senzu Beans from him.
Yeah, because Goku at that point was like, I've made a mistake. Maybe we do need to help Gohan. Maybe I do need to step in and actually, you know, take control of the situation. But Cell gets the Senzu Beans, so our Cell Juniors are we quickly find out, almost as powerful as Cell himself, as they just start beating the snot out of the Z Fighters. The only one who's able to hold his own at all seems to be Trunks. Vegeta, kind of, but not really.
Yeah, Trunks, it's possible for Trunks to win. Vegeta is just keeping his head above water, is what it seems like.
Right.
Piccolo is pretty much the only thing keeping the rest of the Z Fighters from being completely wiped out, as he's kind of giving orders, like, you know, flying in, knocking one back that's fighting one guy, taking him or both of them, and then flying over and defending another. Like, it's Piccolo's kind of being the tactical genius of everything that's happening right here, which, by the way, throughout the Cell Saga, Piccolo has made every correct decision. I love everything that Piccolo has done throughout the Cell arc. The guy is just chef's kiss, perfect. More people need to listen to him.
I can't argue with you there. Piccolo and Trunks are really pretty much the only two people who kind of have their heads on their shoulders about what should happen in this situation. And Trunks,
I guess the biggest difference is Trunks doesn't really know everyone. So like, he seems like a fish out of water sometimes, whereas Piccolo kind of gets everyone's thinking and is able to actually kind of aim. He's able to herd these cats, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, 100%. There's not a lot of fighting going on here, but it's well animated, and the devastation to our Z Fighters is it's on point. It's well done. We get to see Yamcha basically get his arm broken by not one of Yamcha. The Cell Juniors. Yeah, right. My baseball career.
Yeah. So Yamcha's baseball career gets ended. Krillin gets knocked down hard into the dirt, and we see the Cell Junior just like kicking his ribs as he's on the ground defenseless.
Yeah, and we get multiple cuts back to Gohan. He's frustrated. He's upset, but he doesn't know what to do. And you know, even Vegeta ends up trying to throw out his final flash, gets completely deflected by the Cell Junior. Our only hope here seems to be, strangely enough, Android 16 calling out to Mr. Satan, of all people, to throw him back towards Gohan so that 16 can have some words with the kid.
So while this is going on with 16, Gohan has some, I would say, some pretty emotional dialogue where when he's watching all of this, he's completely overwhelmed and he's wishing that somebody would tell him what he needs to do to save his friends. And it is so heart-wrenching to see this kid like just not know what to do and to watch everything he holds dear kind of crumbling around him. Like, it's, for me, this is kind of an emotional moment, and Kai does a really good job of highlighting it. I really like the different voice actor they got for Gohan for this. I don't know who it is, but he conveys the emotion very well in this scene. So I really do want to give him a tip of the cap. I wish I would have looked up his name. I didn't even think about it until now.
It might even be a woman. A lot of the kids are voiced by women, but okay.
She did a great job then.
Yeah. Whomever does the voice, I don't remember the name off the top of my head either. I actually didn't like it at first, but I think it was just because I'm so used to the original Dragon Ball Z voice. But yes, I agree that there are some really great deliveries by Gohan's voice actor in these moments, and even the on screen, we're watching Gohan just tears running down his face, mm-hmm. because this is what we were talking about. He doesn't like seeing other people get hurt. And these people are his friends and family, and they're getting hurt indirectly because of Gohan's inability to save them.
Just the way he's like, please help me, somebody please tell me what to do. Like, he's begging for a way to make this all end. And this is where, like you said, this is where Android 16's head gets tossed over by the very, very brave Hercule. And we kind of get this little pep talk from 16, who's trying to help Gohan get himself back in order. And I like what Android 16 says here to Gohan. He says that there are some foes who cannot be reasoned with. You are allowed to fight on the side of justice. Seize upon your anger, wield it like a weapon. I understand your reluctance, but holding it in is pointless. And during this conversation, Cell kind of smiles and he's walking over as this conversation's happening. And Android 16's final request is that Gohan protect the nature of this world that he's grown to love. And this is all shut down abruptly by Cell, who crushes Android 16's head under his heel. This is where Gohan finally snaps.
Man, there's so much to talk about here, and I know we need to get through this more quickly, but yeah. I love 16's character, especially because of this moment, because 16 is a true robot. Like, 16 was not a human first like 17 and 18, but and 16 was even designed solely for the purpose of killing Goku, and yet in the time that 16 has been activated on this planet, he has grown to love nature, the animals, life in general. Like, the one person who arguably doesn't have a soul or is not human or a living creature is the one who values and appreciates maybe more than anybody else. And he's trying to pass that thought and that expression on to Gohan such that Gohan will take action. I love it. It's fantastic.
You know, I feel bad because like when I first watched Dragon Ball, when I was, either a really young teenager, I think I might've been like the 11 to 13 range, I think, is when I was watching it. I'm trying to remember. It's been so long. Mm-hmm. I didn't really appreciate Android 16. He didn't like, I didn't understand him the same way I do now. I really appreciate Android 16 in Dragon Ball. I like his arc. I like his contributions. There are so many gag characters, especially once you get later into like Super and stuff like that, that yeah, I could just live without. I don't think it's the same arc without 16. I also think as far as side characters go, he's one of the best written side characters in Dragon Ball.
He's fantastic. Like, I think he's really an underappreciated character. Mm-hmm. I love his arc 100%.
As somebody who's like, who doesn't join the Z Fighters, as somebody who it has his arc, you know, and he goes away, I love his character. Like, I love him as a background piece that kind of pushes some emotion and changes some things. But I just wanted to point out that the first time I saw this, didn't appreciate him. Now, huge Android 16 fanboy. Love that guy.
Yeah, I had the same experience. And this kind of culminates in Cell coming over, basically just completely disregarding everything that 16 said, placing a foot on top of the soul head and crushing it. And even just the visual of this microchip getting flicked over at Gohan's feet and the light flickering out of it.
It was a great way to really emphasize that he's gone, right? Like, it
so
was,
good.
It's well done. And this is where we see Gohan's eyes kind of light up with, I guess, horror would be the best way to put it. And now there's a lot of different versions of this scene happening, but in Kai, there's kind of calm music that plays for a moment. Just before this, and the animation's the same every time, there's this thin red line that kind of pierces across this blacked out background and then slowly and then expands quickly to fill the entire scene or screen. Gohan roars in anger, and then we see him engulfed by golden light. When the light gives way, we see him revealed again with the, instead of the normal soft flames of the Super Saiyan form, he's encompassed by this really violent flame, this really just kind of uncontrollable fire that's very different than the previous Super Saiyan form that we've seen.
And all throughout, as you kind of see the red line kind of like indicating this, like something snapping in Gohan, he is screaming. Like, this is... I don't even think that this is like our usual like screaming and powering up. This is Gohan's just trying to express his rage
it's
and
guttural.
Anger. Absolutely. And the visual, I mean, you did a great job of describing the visuals, Dayton. One additional detail as this transformation completes is this close-up shot of Gohan with his hair now shot straight up with this one long bang in front and his tears that are not trailing down his face, but with the power of his aura are trickling upward into the sky. It is beautiful.
The tumultuous energy of this new form, dare I say, carrying away the tears on his cheek. It's very artful. It's very well done. And I mean, the look of determination in his eyes after this transformation is incredible. We see him, if you wanted to animate a transition from one stage of a battle to the next stage, this is it. This is your course. This is your ideal way of saying that without really saying anything. Just showing it, Gohan is now a different person after going through this, after seeing Android 16 get taken away right before his eyes. We've seen him enter a different stage of his battle.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we as Dragon Ball fans understand this to be the Super Saiyan 2 form, but that never gets said in the dialogue here in this arc at all. It is, like you said, it's just a visual expression, and then as we're going to see here shortly in Gohan's action, we understand that Gohan is now a different person.
Yes, which that action continues in the next episode, which is episode 93, Fighting Spirit Free from Hesitation. Gohan pulverizes the Cell Juniors. And this one begins with Cell actually laughing, assuming that the new power he's sensing is just the same kind of trick that Trunks pulled earlier with his bulky form, right? He assumes it's just kind of power for show. But it's clearly different this time, as Gohan's body, just looking at it, it's not morphing and weird and bulgy like it was in Trunks's case. Gohan, he's still more or less like in the same form as he was. It's just, I mean, the energy around him is more violent. His hair is standing on end, and there's a look of determination in his eyes.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this is going to be a different fight than fighting against, you know, Trunks in that Super Saiyan grade 3 form, as the Cell Juniors just kind of continue their rampage against Gohan's friends. Gohan takes a moment to snatch the Senzu beans out of Cell's hand. Cell is shocked and tries to reach for Gohan, but Gohan immediately darts over to where the Cell Juniors are. And as one leaps out to attack him, he dodges to the side and with a single knife hand chop, chops through the creature's neck, disembodying its head from the body. And the creature explodes.
I love this. And I mean, Gohan's not saying anything. He's dead silent this whole time. And it doesn't stop there. After karate chopping one Cell Junior to death, he begins just hunting them one by one, just ruthlessly killing them. He kills three of them before the other four decide to team up and try and use their stolen techniques to bring down Gohan. But he basically walks through all of it. And it turns into a horror movie for them at this point, as they all start scattering and running and trying to survive.
Yeah, this is great. I love everything about this scene as Gohan dismembers the Cell Juniors. And this is, of course, showing how powerful Gohan is. I think even Vegeta is like, we had so much trouble fighting them, and this child just dispatched them with a single blow. And so as the other Cell Juniors kind of catch wind of this, one of them grabs Krillin, who is, you know, damn near knocked out, and just puts his extended sharp claws to Krillin's neck, like as a threat, like, hey, you come any closer and I will murder your friend.
Yeah. And Krillin even tells Gohan, like, don't worry about me. Just take him out. Do what you got to do. And oddly enough, Gohan more or less listens. We see him lift up his arm and begin charging a ki blast. And the Cell Juniors kind of realizes that, like, well, shoot, I'm going to die either way, and turns and goes to run.
Yeah, this is badass on Gohan's part. This shows like a sort of maybe a measure of confidence here, but it's also cold. Like, this is cold as fuck, man. Like, mm-hmm. On one hand, yeah, Gohan is probably confident now that he could save Krillin. But also it shows like a lack of concern for Krillin's well-being in a small degree.
Yeah. And I don't know, it kind of puts that thought in your head of like, was that risk necessary? Like, was he confident because he knew he could stop Cell Jr., or did he just have a lack of empathy for Krillin's life? Like, it's because Gohan doesn't say anything. He just goes through his actions, and he just has this furrowed brow and this just seriousness that never seems to leave his face.
Yeah, this whole exchange is great. But the Cell Junior kind of leaps away, leaving Krillin there so that he can then just attack on his own. Gohan manages to knock, basically grab Krillin, get him out of the way, and then return. And again, with a single blow, just dispatch more of the Cell Juniors here.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, this is, you know, Vegeta couldn't keep up with the Cell Juniors. Trunks was probably on par with Cell Juniors. Gohan is just walking through them as if they're nothing. And at this point, Gohan, he finishes off all the Cell Juniors, and he takes the Senzu beans that he took from Cell, and he throws them over the Trunks, and he tells him to pass them around, and then turns his eyes back on Cell and just marches back out to do battle. And I mean, he is brutally efficient about all of this. It's not really, he's not really showing concern or checking on anybody. He just gives the beans to Trunks and says, hey, go give them to everybody, and then goes back to work.
Yeah, 100%. The only little detail I wanted to point out here about the Cell Jr. fight is that in the anime, I never knew this as a kid, but it is slightly censored. And I sent you a picture of the Gohan killing the Cell Juniors in the manga, Dayton. Mm-hmm. You can actually see when he chops through them, you can see the gore, like one of them, like its eyeball and the optical nerve that connects to the eyeball is like blasted out of his head. It's gory in the manga, man. And it's, I love that. It's not really that much of a hit against the anime that they kind of like just turned it into like explosions of smoke. But I just wanted to give that little nod to the level of detail.
There's like brains and eyeballs and stuff popping out of that little Cell Jr. So they did censor it a little bit. Well, I guess if you're trying to be like the primetime like kid show, you're probably going to censor that.
Like, yeah, can't really knock him for it, but I just I like that in the manga. And this kind of turns into our confrontation between Gohan and Cell.
Yeah. So Gohan's beginning basically a brand new battle at this point. He's completely different than what he was before. And at the beginning of this fight, they almost seem like they're an equal match for each other, right? Neither combatant really seems to land a significant blow on each other. However, it seems like Gohan is maybe, I don't know, toying with his food is kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Gohan, there's even a moment where like we haven't really talked about them, but Mr. Satan and the reporting crew who are here, Gohan even goes out of his way to grab them and save them, like move them away from Cell's attacks, which is a pretty clear indication that if Gohan had time to grab four people in the time that Cell was just trying to deliver a punch to Gohan, Gohan's got the upper hand here.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I think you said before, where Gohan's not really gone on the offensive yet against Cell, and he still hasn't. He's still just in the fight. But I think that brings us into the next episode, which is episode 94. The perfect form breaks down. The super iron fists of rage explode. That is an awesome title, by the way. but we see Gohan just continuing to radiate his power, and we see sparks of electricity beginning to jump off his body as his power continues to skyrocket. Cell decides that he's going to power up a little bit as well, and we see him lean back and just roar as he explodes to an even greater level. So now I think this is the point where both fighters are going to be taking this seriously.
Yeah, and there's actually a moment in here too where Piccolo gives some slight praise to Goku, kind of expressing what you expressed earlier, Dayton, that, oh, I understand now, Goku, why you fought Cell first. You went in there so that Gohan could watch and see how Cell fights. And that's why Gohan is fighting against Cell so well right now.
Yeah, and I think even Goku just kind of, like, he doesn't really acknowledge that, though. He's kind of like, it's not really why I did it, but
yeah, there's almost no doubt that it probably helped, but Goku probably wanted his fun fight too.
Absolutely. So yeah, Cell leaps forward and we see him just land this clean blow to Gohan's face as he just drives his fist deep into the young Saiyan's cheek. And to everyone's surprise, Gohan is basically unfazed by it. Like, I mean, this is kind of a shit your pants moment for Cell if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, Gohan pretty much full on no sells this punch and then buries his fist deep into Cell's stomach. Like, you see green spittle or blood on Cell's chin.
That's right. I've got a note about this. Currently, we see green spittle come out of Cell's mouth. And then before Cell can, like, because Cell kind of leans back for a bit and goes to start doing his own strike back, we see Gohan just follow it up with this uppercut to the chin that sends Cell staggering backwards, and they flip back and forth. Sometimes it's green bile, sometimes it's purple.
I noticed that too, and I was like, that's actually why I used the word spittle, because I'm not sure if that green is supposed to be like his saliva, or like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that that's the saliva, because we definitely see purple blood on his face when he gets punched or when he goes to regenerate.
It's, they just changed the color, because I took pictures of it within like 30 seconds of each other, and it's the same three lines. And one scene at one angle, it's green. And then at one scene at another angle, it's that like purpley color.
See, I didn't catch it that closely. That's interesting. So it's just inconsistent.
It's just inconsistent. There's also a moment, I wasn't going to point it out, but I didn't, where they just completely forgot to like dub over some mouth flaps for a few seconds. But
there, I thought I noticed that too. And I was like, there actually, maybe I noticed the inverse, because there was a moment where it looked to me like the character was just breathing heavily and they added words into his mouth while he was breathing. And I was like, what are you doing?
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, it's honestly, it's so good that the couple times they mess up, it stands out. So I honestly think that that's actually a compliment to the quality of the work that the voice acting actually is.
I'll give you that too. And I mean, they're working with animation that's already, it's already there. Like they kind of have to work with what they've got. So yeah, not a knock on Kai for that one.
No, and it's one of those things too, where because we're parsing everything to its, you know, most critical form, we're probably going to notice that way more than the average person. So it's whatever. They do such a good job that I don't know. I just had to laugh.
Yeah, I agree. This kind of turns into, though, this is now the beatdown for Gohan to Cell at this point, where the tables have pretty much completely turned as Gohan delivers multiple blows to Cell. Cell even tries multiple techniques, tries the Kienzan, the Destructo Disc, tries Frieza's Death Beam. None of them work. Gohan stops them with his aura easily. And then Cell even goes so far as to leap up into the air like Goku and try a full powered Kamehameha that he's going to blast Gohan and the planet with.
Yeah. And it's this tense moment where it's like, oh God, this could be it. This could be the planet. But Gohan doesn't hesitate. He just has that same furrowed brow, that serious look on his face. And Gohan charges his own Kamehameha wave. And we see him just easily blast through Cell's attack. And we actually see Cell get completely engulfed by Gohan's attack. And after the attack, we see that the entire landscape is just kind of turned to dust, right? This was a massive blast, but the planet still stands and Cell remains alive, but Cell's missing an arm, a leg, parts of his bug crown thing. I mean, he is battered and bloodied and in bad shape.
Yeah. And I mean, We already know Cell can regenerate, so that's clearly going to be the next course of action here. We do get a quick cutaway as Goku says, I actually totally forgot about this, but there's even animation for Gohan and Goku in the hyperbolic time chamber, where Goku says, yeah, I'm glad that Gohan was able to surpass Super Saiyan just like he did in the hyperbolic time chamber. And there's this brief shot of Gohan getting up in his standard black-haired Saiyan form, but he gets up with the golden Super Saiyan aura around him, and you see the iconic lightning surrounding the aura of the Super Saiyan 2 form as Gohan gets ready to like power up and start fighting his dad once more, and his hair does shoot straight up like the Super Saiyan 2 form.
That was a very brief clip, wasn't it?
It's very brief, but it is animated, and I totally forgot that that was a thing. And I mean, Goku has seen Gohan at least touch on that Super Saiyan 2 form before this moment.
I forgot about that. Yeah, they did show that. Honestly, I'm surprised I remembered it, because it's such a brief scene. It's only like 5 or 10 seconds. Like, it's almost nothing.
It's very short. I forgot it was in there completely until rewatching this in Kai.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, and I think that scene, that's not the first time we see that scene, though. We actually see that scene, I think, once earlier, too. So I think they show that, but they don't explain it. And then Goku explains it later, I think, is the way they do it. I would have to double check into that. But I'm almost positive that we see kind of the hints at Super Saiyan 2 from Gohan earlier than this.
We might. I know there are other scenes in the time chamber too that kind of just allude to Gohan's power. I feel like this one though might be like the only time that we actually see that like the hair and the lightning.
But yeah, the full thing. This is probably the first time we see the full thing. There are other more subtle hints, but you're right. This is like the most bang on. Goku knew that this was a possibility.
Yeah, right. But at this moment, Cell regenerates here and he knows he's outmatched. He tried his most powerful blast and it didn't work. And so he loses his shit. He full on, like, I love this because he full on goes into the form basically that Trunks tried to use against him, that Cell berated Trunks for using.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Cell is, he's bulky, he's slow. He has all the downsides that we know that this bulk form has, right? And it's at around this point that we see Goku. He takes a moment to appreciate how powerful his son has become, right? And after that moment of appreciation, he tells Gohan that it's time to finish the battle. Like, you've beaten him, you've backed him into a corner, it's time to end this. And Gohan actually refuses. And in this kind of calm, threatening tone, he actually says that he wants to make Cell suffer.
So this is interesting. The Goku even expresses, we don't know what Cell will do if he's backed into a corner. Like, this is going to be dangerous at this point, which is, you know, it's a smart thing for Goku to say and surprisingly mature of him too. I wish in Kai that this idea of Gohan kind of like losing control of himself or just kind of losing himself to the Super Saiyan 2 form, I wish we would have gotten a little bit more of it, a little bit more details of it. We only get like these brief little hints, like this moment, and you kind of feel it. I was trying to point it out with the Krillin moment where Gohan's just pretty cold about Krillin and his safety. But I wish that it was expressed more because it's important. It's important to understand that Gohan is not himself. Gohan is outraged, and this form is affecting him more than people seem to realize.
Yeah, because, well, every other time that Gohan's been able to achieve this level of power, he's lost control, right? Like, that's been a common denominator. When Gohan taps into his hidden reserves, it's always been when he's lost control. And that's one thing that, it's also something that Goku didn't take into account, right? Goku's aware of these reserves of power, and he knows that if Gohan loses control, he can tap into them, and that's great. But he also probably should have helped Gohan learn to control that rage, learn to control himself when he's tapping into that power, because Gohan has no idea how to control himself when he's in this form, when he's acting this way. And I'm really glad that, and like you said, I wish Kai would have done it a little bit better, but I am glad at the very least that in this story arc, this comes back around and they pay attention to those details.
Yeah, 100%. And as Gohan, like you said, Dayton, plays with his food here, he does eventually land a heavy blow, a kick to Cell's stomach. And this is too much for Cell. So we get to see Cell, like, he looks like he's about ready to throw up. His throat swells, his chest even swells. And we hear from the sidelines that his power level is dropping drastically. And he eventually does throw up, but it's not vomit. He spits out Android 18.
Yeah, Cell, these blows coming into Cell's body are deep and he's unable to keep his lunch down. So Android 18 is just, unceremoniously just dumped onto the ground in a pile of bile. It's actually kind of gross. And once Android 18 comes out, we actually see Cell's form begin to revert. We see his perfect jawline turn into kind of the bulky, ugly jawline that he had before. We see like the cool kind of race car lines in his face slowly revert back into just the normal speckled, ugly orange and bug-like spots that it was before. His tail shoots back out. It's no longer the little chode thing that it was. Cell is back to his imperfect form. And at this point, it appears that Cell has lost this battle, but Cell is quite the sore loser. We see him begin to kind of inflate and expand and start blowing up like a balloon.
Yeah. This
happens really quickly, by the way, going from perfect Cell to imperfect form to blowing up like a balloon. Like, it happens like within over the course of like a minute or two.
Yeah, it's very fast. I think Gohan maybe delivers one or two blows to imperfect Cell, and then Cell's like, well, here we go. Time to blow myself up, because that's kind of what we're going to find out in the start of the next episode.
Yes, which is episode 95. Bye-bye, everyone. This is the only way to save the Earth. It's a very serious moment. I don't know why I said it like that. Cell continues to expand, and he explains that this is his last-ditch effort to destroy the planet and take everyone down with him. And he warns Gohan that if he does anything, he could detonate earlier than intended. So to take these final moments to appreciate himself and everyone.
Yeah, I mean, this is well played out, because Gohan is kind of thinking back on, damn it, I messed up. My dad told me to finish Cell off. I should have finished him off when he said something. And now, because of me, everybody's going to die, and I have all this power. I can't do anything with it. I have no way to solve this problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, tears start pouring from Gohan's eyes, and I mean, it's the end of the world, and it's his fault, right? Well, Goku's looking on from the sidelines, and everyone's kind of despairing over the end of the Earth. There's nothing that they can do, and Goku kind of smiles and looks at them, and he tells them goodbye. And we see him teleport over to Cell, and Goku's smiling at Gohan, and he tells him that he's proud of him, and he tells Gohan to tell Chi-Chi he's sorry and he won't make it home this time. And this is where Goku puts his hand on Cell, and we see both of them teleport away, leaving the planet.
I love this moment. I will always love this moment, as Goku put all of his faith in his son, and his plan largely worked out. But like you said, Dayton, Goku didn't account for Gohan not being able to control himself in his rage. And as a result, Goku does end up having to take responsibility for his actions here and step in so that he can solve the problem. He can be the hero. And he teleports Cell with instant transmission to the only safe place that he could think of. And that's King Kai's planet.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I thought about this a little bit, because I was like, isn't there a better place he could have taken Cell? But I mean, I think part of instant transmission is you need to be able to lock on to something, right? And so King Kai makes sense, because sure, there's tons of empty planets and stuff, but there's no way for Goku to really know where that is or to pick a place. He has to be able to sense it and envision it. And so unfortunately, King Kai is probably the best place, right? It's minimizing casualties.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, he needs to be able to lock onto somebody's energy. Plus, he's having to do this quickly. Like, he's only got a few seconds until Cell explodes, so he's got to think of something very fast. And Goku's not our best thinker, but this is a pretty savvy plan, which results in the death of King Kai, Gregory, Bubbles, Goku, and presumably Cell.
Yeah, but we take a moment to flip away, where we see Gohan just howling in pain as tears are just pouring from his eyes. And Krillin is actually the one who walks over to comfort Gohan, who's currently blaming himself for the death of his father. So, I mean, it's a really emotional moment. I also like that it's Goku's best friend who kind of steps forward to comfort his son. Like, to me, it's important that Krillin is the person to do this, because we've had a lot of moments with Piccolo, and I think most other people would feel out of place, but I mean, Krillin is OG. So for me, it was an important scene where Krillin is the guy who kind of embodies the heart of the Z Fighters, and he's the one who kind of helps hold Gohan back together.
I agree. And I actually deeply love Krillin's dialogue here. It's simple, but he basically says, Gohan, don't be upset. That look on your father's face when he left, he wasn't upset or angry or anything like that. That was a look of pride in a father's son. Like, that gets me teary eyed just thinking about that. It's beautiful. It's a really great moment.
It's a touching moment. It's great words by Krillin, and Krillin was the right person to do it. And then we go from there to Krillin scooping up a slimy and unconscious Android 18.
Another sweet family moment.
Yeah. But things quickly take a turn when the Earth is immediately put back in peril. We see this kind of electrical dust storm kicking up out of nowhere. And from the center of this electrical dust storm, we see this ki blast fire out from its core, piercing the unprepared chest of Trunks, who drops to the ground. And turns out Cell is very much still alive.
And this turns into a whole explanation about Cell's nucleus and how he can regenerate because the nucleus was still alive.
here we get the hard rules where he's got a little nucleus inside him and, you know, it's very strong. He picked up instant transmission and a power boost from blowing up Goku. So he's got all that going for him.
Let's just get out of the way. This, in my opinion, is the most bullshit moment in the entire Cell arc. But if we didn't have this moment, we wouldn't have what is arguably the best moment in the entire Cell arc.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, right? Like, it's because of what it gives way to, I'm fine with it. But oh my God, there is a lot of magic wand waving happening right now where it's just like, actually, he doesn't need 18 to be in his perfect form. Also, he survived self-destructing. Also, he's stronger now because he blew up. So, we're all still fighting, right, guys? Everyone's on the same page? Cool.
Yeah, same biology, Piccolo's cells. Who fucking knows? It's whatever. Cell's back and he's stronger than ever.
Oh, geez. So anyway, Gohan powers up and this time he's got a look of another look of determination in his eyes, but it seems less angry and more confidence. And he even tells Cell that he's happy that he's back because now he gets a chance to make things right. And so both fighters begin to power up, but we kind of take a moment away from this buildup when it's revealed that the beam that struck Trunks, it didn't just wound him. It actually ended his life. Trunks is dead.
Yeah. And it cuts to Vegeta as Vegeta looks on at the dead body of his only son. And Vegeta has had enough of standing on the sidelines and just letting other people fight this fight for him. And seeing his son killed at the hands of Cell, he leaps into action, turning into Super Saiyan, and fires a ki blast at Cell, charging him to take him out.
Yeah, Vegeta, he loses control completely. He's gone berserk. And we see him kind of firing everything available to him at Cell. I mean, just a massive blast. And despite all of Vegeta's ferocity and fury, Cell is completely unfazed by it. And Vegeta is struck down in a single blow. And it's at this moment where Vegeta is kind of cratered into the ground that Cell goes to finish off our Saiyan Prince. But Gohan leaps in just in time to intercept the attack. And this is where things get really bad because this attack that Gohan intercepted, it damaged him. It damaged him bad.
Yeah, this was a powerful ki blast. Enough energy to wipe out the Saiyan Prince. And as such, it disables Gohan's left arm. It's just it's still there, fortunately, unlike our future Gohan, but it is like just a bloody mess, just hanging limp at his side.
I like that they showed how messed up his arm was with the blood trailing down it and dripping off his fingertips. I'm glad that they left that in.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, some of our other Z Fighters are just outraged that, you know, our best shot at winning in Gohan is now, his energy has been cut in half because of Vegeta's outrage. Like, yeah, Vegeta, your son got killed, but what are you doing? You've messed everything up for everybody, and now we're all going to get killed.
Yeah, and we're going to ignore a bridge pointing out that they could have just wished Vegeta back, but so Gohan's sacrifice was, you know, not necessarily worth it. But at the same time, heat of the moment, right? Body moved without thinking. But to make things even worse, the sensei beans have run out. We have no more magic beans to fix anything, so this is it. This is the final exchange here, and Cell begins to boost his power up, and Gohan's kind of taking everything into account, how powerful Cell is, how weak he's become now, how his body's disabled. And I mean, it seems like this battle is over. Gohan's starting to have some doubt in himself as to whether he can even continue the fight at this point.
Yeah, and our episode kind of comes to a close as Cell begins charging a Kamehameha to end everything.
Yeah, and that leads us into episode 96. Combine our power, the mightiest final Kamehameha. And Gohan's despairing, just sensing the disparity in their power levels and how his decisions also led to this moment that will end the planet. And if you really want to know that things are screwed up, Vegeta actually apologizes to Gohan. That's how you know it's messed up.
I deeply love this moment. Like, it's one thing to see Vegeta show compassion for another person when he unleashes this attack against Cell due to the death of his son. For Vegeta to apologize to somebody, anybody, for any reason, is unbelievable. Like, what incredible character development for Vegeta. What a great way to show that our Z fighters are in a terrible situation. Like, I love it. Love it so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, every once in a while when Vegeta shows any amount of emotion that isn't pride, it's usually a pretty deep moment. And I'm glad that they're really sparse about it, because it makes a moment like this just feel so much more impactful. And I don't blame Gohan for being like, oh shoot, he's apologizing. We're friggin' boned, man. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
And it's at this point that Gohan, for a moment, he actually resigns himself to the fate of the planet, right? He even tells Cell, like, go ahead and just finish me off. It's all over. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, this is, I mean, Gohan, you know, he's hurt. He thinks, okay, you know, I think he even said something along the lines of, at least I'll get to go see my dad. And speaking of his dad, we get some further interference from our dead Saiyan protagonist as Goku speaks out to Gohan saying, Gohan, it's not like you to give up. You have the power you need to beat Cell. You just have to try. I promise that you can do it.
Yeah, these reassuring words. I mean, it's pulling at those heartstrings, right? Like, Goku just sacrificed himself, and now he's really laying it all out there for his son, and really trying to convey that he has full faith into him and to not give up. He even mentions that he thinks that Gohan is the strongest person in the whole universe, and he lets him know that he's going to be there every step of the way. And this is where Gohan, his fire gets kind of reignited at this point, and he pulls back with his one good hand and begins charging his own Kamehameha wave.
I'm going to gush about this whole moment because all of this is phenomenal and I get emotional just thinking about it. But I mean, first off, let's talk about the parallel, and Team Four Star does a good job of pointing this out, but let's talk about the parallel of Gohan being in a situation where he's down one arm and fighting against an android for the sake of the Earth is a beautiful parallel to his future self losing an arm to the androids in Trunks' timeline. Let's also talk about this Kamehameha as Cell is basically like, all right, we're going to have this showdown as we get to see both of them blast these Kamehamehas towards one another. And we get the beautiful father-son Kamehameha visual of this kind of ghostly silhouette behind Gohan of Goku firing his own Kamehameha in full support of his son in this devastating situation that Goku has put Gohan in. But again, Goku's there to support him the entire way.
I love it. The faded image of Goku in the background where their hands meet at the same origin point. So it's like they're firing the same wave. I mean, and just the animation for it all too, as the wave comes out and we see kind of like the shot coming towards us as it pans out and we see the waves getting ready to collide in midair. I mean, it's the way they animate it. There aren't a whole lot of, I guess, key attacks that really stand out in my mind. This is top two. There's only one other one that could compete for the first spot, but this one may be my personal number one.
I had the same thought in my head earlier today as I was watching through these, and I was like, is this the best key struggle in all of Dragon Ball? It's either this, or as Dayton alluded to, it's either this or the Kamehameha and Gallic Gun struggle between Goku and Vegeta. And it's tough, man. They're right up there neck and neck for me.
Just animation-wise, emotion-wise, this one definitely has more emotional weight than any other one. It's more than the Vegeta-Goku one. And also, we're I don't know how far into the future from the original beam struggle between Vegeta and Goku, but you can tell that the animation is just, it's stepped up since then. It's just, it's a better product, but at the same time, the story writing around it is just so much better than the original one that for me, it gets kind of the step up. Like, I wouldn't just give it based off of animation, just because that's not something that you can really control when you go back in time, right? Like, they did the best that they could. It looks fantastic. The newer one looks newer, but it doesn't score any additional points for me. It's just the buildup to it is just so much more epic. It's such a more emotional moment for me that I think I lean towards this one as being a more important moment than in Dragon Ball for myself.
I think I might agree with you there too. Let's actually dive into some of those emotional beats here as Cell, the two beams collide and Cell is trying to push Gohan's beam back. You can actually see like the delineation in this line between the two beams, and Cell's is clearly overtaking Gohan's, almost even coming into contact with Gohan himself. And Gohan's basically saying like, I'm not strong enough. I've been weakened by his attack. I can't do it. And Goku's still there all the way in Gohan's head saying, no, you're strong enough. You just need to dig deeper. You can do this, Gohan. It's beautiful.
And I mean, you can tell Gohan's struggling because we see him actually starting to drop to a knee from the pain. And he's telling Goku that he can barely feel his legs. Like it's such a chore for him to even just stay into the fight. And Goku doesn't relent. He's barking words of encouragement at him, and Goku tells Gohan that he's got more to give, that he's not as weak as he thinks he is. And this is where Gohan kind of fires back up and fights his way back to his feet. And I mean, additional energy reserves are tapped into, and Gohan appears to barely be holding his own at this point.
Yeah, and we kind of cut to our other Z fighters, and Piccolo in particular is like, he's watching this and he's basically saying like, I'm not going to sit here and be worthless. I can't let Gohan struggle out there. I can't let Gohan lose without helping him, without at least trying. And so Piccolo flies out and makes his way to Cell's backside and just starts firing ki blasts at him to no effect. Like it has no impact on Cell hardly whatsoever, outside of making Cell basically just blast his aura to knock this, I think he even calls him a gnat, away from him.
Yeah, and this kind of inspires the other Z fighters to charge in and do the same thing, right? We've got Tien and Yamcha and Krillin all charging in to help out. Vegeta kind of takes notice of it, but he kind of writes it off as like, oh, what are they doing? They're crazy. They're going to get themselves killed. But they're all there for Gohan. They're all trying to support as best as they can. And even though Cell keeps kind of knocking them back down into the dirt, they keep getting back up and firing ki blasts and doing anything they can to try and help out.
So this help from these fighters, from our other Z fighters, this is, if you want to call it filler, this is added in the anime. This was not included in the manga. This was also cut out by Team Four Star in the abridged. And I love the abridged version. However, I love the addition of the Z fighters contributing to this moment. It partly because it shows that while Cell is fighting alone, he's selfish. He's doing everything for power. Gohan is different. Gohan, while hurt, he's not fighting by himself. He has people who care about him. He has people he's fighting for and people who support him. And I love some of the dialogue that we get from them here as Tien basically expresses, like, Goku, you've been the one who has pushed me to become a better martial artist and to even make it this far. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. And I sat there and watched you die as you gave your life for this planet. And he says, I'm not going to do the same with your son. I get, like, even just saying the dialogue there, I get chills. And even Krillin says, like, if this were the old me, I would have given up long ago. But I have Goku and Gohan to blame for that. And he even makes a joke like, I'm really going to give it to those guys for making me, you know, try harder here. Like, I'm going to tell them, like, it's just a beautiful moment seeing this, the growth of these characters and seeing them try to help and aid Goku's son in this moment.
Yeah. And I think Piccolo even has that inner dialogue where he thinks to himself, like, Gohan, you were the first person to ever view me as anything other than a monster. I'm not going to let you fight alone out there. And so whether it's their connection to Goku or in Piccolo's case, his connection to Gohan in particular, everyone kind of has a reason to go out there and put their lives on the line in this fight.
It's beautiful. I think the anime has a lot of filler and a lot of added details. This is one that I think really enhances the material. It's really, really good. We kind of move forward here, though, as the beam struggle continues and Cell blasts all the Z fighters away and then puts everything he has into his Kamehameha, almost overtaking Gohan, until we get one more person intervening as a ki blast hits Cell in the back and almost buckles his knee. And we see Vegeta in the air, probably the one person who has the power to actually still affect Cell in this moment. And Goku takes that moment to yell to Gohan, do it now, Gohan! And Gohan gives everything he has into this Kamehameha, finally overtaking Cell and blasting him into oblivion.
I love it because as Gohan begins to take control of this beam battle, we get this epic shot of Gohan marching forward in this steady pace as his arm dangles at his side and he pushes the energy wave in front of him as you see it just kind of glowing in his hand as he takes control. And that moment where Gohan finally wins the battle and Cell is just awash with that signature blue energy from the Kamehameha wave. I mean, I love seeing Gohan in that victory walk as he's marching on Cell in that last final moment.
It's so good. We see the Kamehameha like blast away from the planet. We see, you know, Cell just completely disintegrated. We see Gohan in his bloodied state, breathing heavy as the Super Saiyan aura leaves his body, his hair falling, going back to its natural black state. And he just falls to the ground, wiped out, and our heroes are alive. Gohan has saved the day.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go ahead and introduce the next episode because it all kind of plays together, which is episode 97, Farewell with a Smile, Heading for New Days. This episode begins with, like, Gohan is exhausted. He's got this big smile on his face, though, right? After everything that's happened, he actually is smiling. And I mean, it's got to be because he did it. He saved the day. He saved all of his friends. And on top of that, he followed through with what his dad told him he could be. He actually achieved the bar that was set before him, right? And so there's a lot of things for Gohan to be smiling about, even though it is kind of a somber victory at this moment.
Right. And it's wild here because Goku's plan worked. As twisted and messed up as Goku's plan might have been, in the end, everything that he had in mind worked, outside of maybe him getting killed. And Goku was always, like he said, he was there every step of the way supporting Gohan, and Gohan came through. Like, this is, again, I described it as, you know, Goku wanting Gohan to get that confidence. I feel like this is, he was successful in doing that. I feel like this is a great way to get Gohan's, well, maybe not a great way. This is a way to get Gohan's confidence.
I give it a C minus at best.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, right? I'll get into some stuff in a little bit, but yeah, it's kind of the passing of the torch. It's the completion of the son kind of stepping forward and going out into the world on his own. He's no longer in his father's shadow, literally, because his dad is dead.
Yeah, and our Z fighters kind of clear out, some of them going back to the Kame's lookout, or I guess Dende's lookout at this point. And I guess we do have to cover one little detail with Mr. Satan here, because it's going to be important later, that Mr. Satan basically tells the news crew, "Oh, you guys didn't see what happened? Yeah, I beat Cell. I went in there after the kid left and, yeah, whooped his ass."
So Cell is now being credited, not Cell, blah. Hercule or Mr. Satan is now being credited with defeating Cell. So that happened. There's also a little moment that I want to touch on where when everyone leaves to go back to the lookout, Vegeta kind of lags behind for a moment, and we see him kind of, I guess, mourning the loss of Trunks and to some degree even Goku, because he always had it in his head that he would be the person who finally took down Goku. So he's got like two big, I guess, spots of regret right now. And I like that Vegeta kind of takes that moment of self-reflection.
I do too. I like the look on his face. There is a little bit of weird dialogue there for me, but it's originally from the manga, so it was in there by Akira Toriyama. But Vegeta actually says, "I will never fight again," which is, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I kind of understand. I think part of it is that, you know, he was outdone by, he even says he was outdone by not only Goku or Kakarot, but also outdone by Gohan. And so it's a heavy blow to his pride, I think. And I think that's why he says that.
He screwed everything up too. He was so bad, he almost made Gohan lose the fight.
Yeah. So I kind of get it, but we're going to see later that he definitely fights again.
Yeah. Say he kind of, I don't know. I actually don't mind the line of dialogue. It just doesn't lead anywhere, which I guess would be kind of my issue with it. Like, right, if there were some lingering effects of that, which there should be, right? Like, this is a massive moment for Vegeta. And like you said, it's a massive blow to his ego, which is the most important thing to Vegeta, or his pride, whatever, same thing. So I would like there have been some more lingering effects to this outcome, but that's something we'll get to later on down the line.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest issue with it, but we'll kind of zip through some of the details of the resolution here. Yeah,
let's fly through
here.
Some of this stuff. The Dragon Balls are assembled. Cool. Shenron is summoned. Cool. Everyone killed by Cell is revived, including Trunks, but not Goku, since this is like the same dragon as before, even though Dende revived it. So Goku's already been brought back, and Shenron is not able to bring back someone again.
Right. And so they plan to go to Namek to use Purunga and the Namekian Dragon Balls to resurrect Goku. But Goku reaches out to everybody and says, "Hey, you know, I want to give my voice on this. I don't think I should be brought back. And he says that he's kind of been the cause for a lot of the problems that the Earth has had, and the Earth being threatened by all these powerful villains. And he's kind of like the magnet or the beacon for those villains. And, you know, that's very, very true with Raditz in particular, and Vegeta, and Cell. Cell is a product of the Red Ribbon Army that Goku defeated as a child. And I guess so,
technically, too, Frieza came back to Earth. So if it wasn't for Trunks, it's possible. Well, I guess we know that Goku probably beats Frieza, but.
Yeah, but you're right. Frieza threatened the Earth, too, right? Because Frieza landed on the Earth looking for Goku. So all of them have been, as in some way, shape, or form, connected to Goku. And so Goku says, you know, I don't want to be a threat to the planet anymore. And you guys have Gohan now. Gohan can take my place and defend the planet.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, that decision, it really like gets you thinking, like, is this the right decision? Like, sure, he has been a beacon, but also he's been its savior. And on top of that, you're leaving your wife, and you're leaving your son alone to grow up without you. And that's something that, I mean, that's a weighty decision, right? Are you really going to make your son grow up without his dad? I know you did, but like, wouldn't it have been nice if Grandpa Gohan was still around?
I mean, Gohan even has a great piece of just a little snippet of dialogue where Goku says, like, I don't have anything left to teach you, Gohan. And Gohan says, just because you don't have anything left to teach me doesn't mean that I don't still need you. And that's a heavy line, man. That's like, oh, man, leaving this 11-year-old child without his dad.
Yeah. And I mean, it's in some ways with the things that have happened to Goku, you start to understand why Chi-Chi acts the way she does sometimes, where it's just like, like, she just wanted to settle down and have a family and live a normal life. And, you know, I think everybody to some degree is a little bit more wild when they're younger, and you kind of hope that they grow out of it. But Goku never did. Goku, he just kind of upped the ante to some degree. While he did mature and get older, he never stopped being in the fight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we kind of keep moving forward as basically Goku's not going to come back. And so they have one more wish on Shenron now that Dende has changed the dragon. And so Krillin jumps in and says, hey, can you change Android 18 back into a human? And Shenron says, no, that's beyond my power. And so Krillin says, okay, well, can you remove the bomb from Android 17 and 18? And Shenron does so, disappears. Android 18 basically shows up and says, I'm not going to like you just because you got rid of my bomb, and then flies off. And the rest of our Z Fighters kind of split as the conflict at this point has been resolved. They've resurrected Trunks, and they've resurrected all the other people at this point. So
I want to say that they do a great job of making this feel like the end of Dragon Ball Z right here, because everyone flies off, and they actually use the intro music, but in the dub, they actually use the original Japanese score, I guess. And so you get like kind of the intro leading or exiting the show, like as everyone's exiting the scenes and going back to their families and their training areas, and Trunks says he's going to go back to his timeline. We kind of get the what would normally start the show being the end of the show. So it's very poetically done.
I agree. It's really good. And there's a scene with Trunks going back in his time machine. Vegeta kind of waves goodbye. It's interesting because you get to see the other Z Fighters are like Gohan's in a suit, and the other Z Fighters have these black bands on their arms that I found out later it's like a sign of mourning.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense then.
Yeah. And so you kind of get this moment of you see like a hand touch Gohan's shoulder, and Gohan looks up into the sky to see this visage of his father. And we kind of end on that beat.
I do like this is a brief scene of Gohan fishing, and he pulls out this big fish and he's like, oh, look what I caught, Grandpa. And he goes, oh, you're just like your father. It's just like, oh, man. Those yeah. family bonding moments, they hit.
Gohan from A Bridge. In what way?
All right. So that brings us into episode 98. I'm going to burn through this one.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is Bring Peace to the Future. Goku's spirit is eternal. So what happens this episode is Trunks goes back to the future. We are reminded that Hercule is credited with defeating Cell and saving the world. So everyone in the world thinks that Hercule is the hero, right? We go back to Trunks' timeline where he fights and kills Android 17 and 18. No one is surprised there. Trunks also kills Cell in his timeline. And mind you, these battles aren't very well animated, so they're like nothing to really speak of. It's just Trunks kind of having a field day. The only thing of note here is that at the end of this episode, Goku is pushing King Kai about meeting the masters of the other world. I guess like martial art masters or something like that. And then as they're exiting like the scene or whatever, the episode ends with this montage that begins with the Otherworld tournament and then regresses back to covering all of the events that have happened in Dragon Ball thus far.
This is hilarious to me. I honestly love it because the Otherworld tournament is filler, but it's actually one of the better filler arcs, in my opinion.
It's fun. And
we kind of get to see little pieces of the fight between Super Saiyan Goku and PyCon.
So is it canon or was this just a nod towards it?
This is just a nod towards it, I think. It's not canon per the manga, so.
So I guess if we're skipping it in Kai, this is a great way to like, hey, we recognize this stuff happened, but we're not covering it.
Yeah, and it's a good way to kind of show that, you know, Goku did some training, did some fighting, and then, like you said, we kind of get the cover of everything that happened in Dragon Ball.
I actually like the montage a lot, though. I like touching all those moments and kind of remembering them, and we're appreciating Goku's journey, right? That's kind of what this is doing.
Yeah, I agree. That wraps it up for the Cell arc. What did you think about the Cell arc in Kai, Dayton?
I mean, gosh, I always forget how good the end of the Cell arc is. The way everything comes together, all the emotion behind Gohan. I've learned to appreciate even more a lot of the decisions that Goku has made throughout the Cell arc. And I think my opinion on Kai is pretty steady at this point. I think they overall did a great job. There are some moments that I wish we would have spent a little bit more time on. I wish we would have slowed down a little bit for like the Goku's instant transmission. I wish we would have slowed that down, appreciated that a little bit more. But overall, for our part three of the Cell Saga coverage, I think they did a really good job. Like, I give it very high marks.
I think so, too. It's Kai is probably like a solid B for me right now. My biggest issue is usually the music. Usually the music is not up to par. And to tell you the truth, Team Four Star's rendition of the Cell arc is probably the best rendition out of all of them.
We did talk about that, where the parody had the best music choice out of all the different versions.
Yeah, 100%. But we're kind of cutting close to our time here. So did you have anything else that you wanted to say about the Cell arc here, Dayton?
No, I want to get into the next part because I feel really sad because it feels like Dragon Ball is over and I don't want it to be over.
It's okay, because we've got a very long arc coming up.
Yes, we do.
But that's going to be it for today's episode of Instant Transmission, where we discuss everything Dragon Ball. This has been your host, Todd.
And Dayton.
Be sure to join us next time as we fight crime in Satan City in part one of the World Tournament arc. With 7 years of peace between the end of the Cell games and rejoining our Z Fighters, Gohan has grown into a young adult. He'll be heading off to high school while trying to hide his powers, but a savvy young woman quickly becomes suspicious of our young Saiyan.
Ooh.
Can Gohan successfully take on the role of a normal student? What sort of villains will come forth to challenge our new primary protagonist? And can Gohan really pull off a do-rag? Find out a next time. And to all our fellow Dragon Ball fans, stay safe out there, and remember, to keep rocking the dragon.